What happens in Space Vegas doesn't stay in Space Vegas. Written by Firefright, read by Raven. Summary. When a drink of alien alcohol lands the outlaws in a situation none of them were quite prepared for, the hardest part for Jason isn't coming to terms with the fact he's now unexpectedly married to the two people he loves most in the world. Instead, it's the prospect of having to tell his family about it. The first person to say anything about it is, surprisingly, Hal Jordan, when they run into Earth's Green Lantern on their way back to the spaceport the morning after the fact. It's an unexpected meeting, and none of them are prepared for the moment when they stand on a busy street corner facing each other. Roy and Jason still nursing intense hangovers, while Corey does her best to shepherd both of them along through the bustling crowds of alien pedestrians and street merchants so they don't get into any more trouble than they already have. Trouble that doesn't exclude Green Lantern, apparently. Jordan looks each of them up and down, his eyebrows climbing higher and higher above his mask for a moment, as any other greeting he had in mind stalls before he has the chance to say it. And never has Jason empathized more with Bruce than he does when he sees the shit-eating grin start to spread across the man's face.
"Mazel tov," says Jordan.
"Fuck you," Jason replies, the steel grip of Corey's hand the only thing keeping him from jumping forward and laying one on the man's jaw. At least she has more dignity than he does. Royal aura firmly in place, Corey calmly thanks Jordan for his well wishes. Then, without allowing Jason another word, throws him over her shoulder before taking to the sky with Roy tucked under her other arm. And on that note, they continue their journey back to Earth.
"It won't be that bad, right?"
Roy says from the pilot's chair 5 hours later, hand pressed against his forehead as he stares out at the infinite cosmos, rushing past the windscreen like a stoner at Glastonbury.
"I mean, yeah, people will be shocked, but hey, it's no worse than anything else we've done together."
Jason groans from where he's still sitting next to the toilet cubicle, "just in case."
"Roy," he says slowly, measuring each word to make sure he's speaking plain English, "do you remember who my relatives are?"
"Yeah, Jaybird, of course I remember." Roy frowns. "But they can't do any worse to you than what Ollie will do to me." Corey hands Jason a bottle of water before sitting down next to him on the floor and gently running her fingers through his hair. It's unfair that she doesn't have a hangover like they do. But that was alien physiology in a nutshell. Unfair.
"I think you're both overreacting to this. Certainly, they will be surprised at first. But this is a joyous occasion, no matter the circumstances. And they are your family. Surely they will be happy for us, rather than angry."
"You say that, Corey," Jason grimaces as he uncaps the bottle and sips the water. Even their strongest painkillers are struggling against the effects of alien alcohol, never designed for human bodies to ingest. And so long as he lives, Jason swears he will never touch anything that shade of neon blue again.
"We could always just not tell them. Grab Leanne and stay on the island for the rest of our lives. That's a thing we could do," Roy suggests. He soon pales under the look Corey gives him for the idea, though.
"Or not." She tosses her hair, which is a feat considering how long it is, before raising her chin in the imperious way they've both come to know means she will not back down on the issue at hand.
"I will not live in hiding, Roy Harper. I do not regret what happened. And neither should either of you. I love you both, as I know you love me, and any expression of love is nothing to be ashamed of."
Jason quickly puts his hand on hers before the situation can escalate further.
"We know, Corey. We know. It's just this sort of thing, when it happens to humans, it..."
He looks to Roy for help.
It only happens in Las Vegas. Jason groans. That is not at all what he meant. Corey, nonetheless, examines the statement carefully. Then perhaps we should go to Las Vegas and do it the human way as well. I really think once was enough, Princess. They tell Leanne first. Roy insists on it. She's his daughter, and they have to pick her up from her sitter the moment they land back on Earth anyway. Jason doesn't know what to expect from her. How an 8-year-old could possibly process the news when he himself is still struggling to come to terms with it. Leanne surprises him, though, in the way she so often does.
Daddy,
she says to Roy in the most scandalized tone of voice she can possibly muster.
I was supposed to be a bridesmaid.
As Roy stutters to apologize and Corey hides her grin, Jason really thinks that will be the worst of it. Except that then Leanne turns around to look at him with a contemplative frown on her face.
Uncle Jason?
Yes, Leanne?
Now that Daddy is married to you and Aunt Corey, does that mean you're my daddy too?
This time, he can't blame the hangover for his headache. Let's just stick with Uncle for now, Leanne, okay? She pouts. Okay. There are more questions after that, about whether or not this makes him and Roy princes now and Leanne a princess. And does this mean that they'll finally get to work on making that baby brother or sister for her soon? But Jason leaves Roy and Corey to navigate that minefield alone while he sneaks out for tea in the kitchen. Some subjects he's just not qualified to speak on. Tim stares at him. And stares at him. You got married, he repeats slowly, testing each syllable like he's not sure if Jason is just fucking with him or not. Which is fair. Because usually he would be, just not this time. Yes. On an alien planet. Yes. Because you got blackout drunk despite knowing you were with Roy Harper. Yeah, hey, Roy's not... Jason groans and puts his face in his hands. We can't remember whose fault it was. Not even Corey? Tim raises an eyebrow. Not even Corey. Wow. Must have been some strong stuff you drank. Yes, Tim, I'm aware. I had the hangover for 2 days. Have you told Bruce yet? No, not Dick or Damien either. And don't you dare breathe a word about this to any of them. Tim considers it. Jason can see him turning the idea over in his mind. The lure of having something told over Jason's head, even if just for a little while. Fine, but promise me one thing. What? When you have your Earth wedding, I get to be the best man and the photographer. Jason stares at him. Tim, we're not going to have an Earth wedding. Tim grins. Not yet, you're not. He's not there for when Roy informs Green Arrow and Black Canary, but the way Roy tells it, Oliver laughed for over an hour while Diana berated and then eventually threatened to canary cry him, after which he walked over to his drinks cabinet and passed Roy a $500 bottle of champagne before ushering him back out the door, still laughing. Jason will never understand rich people. He gathers his courage to tell Dick 2 days later, in costume, because he thinks it'll be safer, an assumption that doesn't turn out to be correct at all. Jason has never known anyone else to be as expressive through a domino mask as Nightwing is. Both of them? Dick gawks. You married both of them? My best friend and my ex-girlfriend? Jason struggles not to cringe back. Come on, Dick. You know we've been dating for 2 years now. It's not really that big of a deal. Both of them, he repeats, the betrayal clear in his voice. You married both of them. Nightwing. Both of them, Jay, He's starting to sound a bit like a broken record. Okay. Jason holds up his hands in front of him as he takes a step backward. Okay, clearly you need some time to come to terms with this. So how about I leave you to do that and you call me a couple days when you've calmed down? Sound good? Jason, Dick growls, stepping forwards, which is when Jason decides, fuck it, he's out, and makes a run for the opposite side of the rooftop. The last thing he hears as he jumps into the alleyway behind the building where his bike is stowed is the accusing shout of, "And you didn't even invite me to the wedding, you asshole!" It might take more than a couple of days. As is usually the ill-advised case with Jason, he saves the worst for last. Excluding the demon brat, that is. But Jason's not actually worried about Damien's all-too-predictable reaction to the news, just the fact that he might go around telling everyone else before Jason is ready for it. Otherwise, he and the kid have always sort of got along with each other, in the same way that a lightning strike gets along with a tree. Bruce, though, is an entirely different story. As much as Jason tells himself he doesn't give a rat's ass what the man thinks of him, and hasn't for a long time now, in reality, he knows that isn't true at all. If he didn't care, he wouldn't feel the need to control the way Bruce finds out, rather than letting him hear it from someone else. And the only consolation Jason has as he rolls up to Wayne Manor with Roy and Corey in tow is that they're in one of their good periods right now, so at least the fallout won't be as completely catastrophic as it would be if they were already fighting. Alfred shows them to the den, covering his surprise at their unexpected arrival by supplying them with tea, coffee, and freshly baked cookies before going to fetch Bruce. Jason doesn't touch any of it. He feels too sick to eat, though Corey and Roy don't share his affliction. Good cookies, Roy says, mouthful before Corey shushes him. It takes Bruce 20 minutes to appear. No doubt he was down in the cave and had to change out of the suit before coming upstairs.
Alfred said you have something to tell me,
he asks them, eyebrow raised once they've gotten the initial greetings out of the way. Yeah, Bruce, it... Jason hesitates, but then Corey reaches over and squeezes his knee, and with her reassurance, he manages to launch himself into the confession. Bruce is silent for a good minute after, during which Jason's nerves are stretched nearly to the breaking point.
Married,
he eventually repeats, in the most stunned tone Jason's heard from him since he initially popped back up in Gotham after supposedly being dead for 4 years.
That's what I said, Jason replies defiantly. When? How?
Well, you see, when three people love each other very much, Roy starts before Jason stomps the heel of his boot onto his toe to shut him up.
Alien planet, spur of the moment thing, Jason tells him, deciding to leave out the part about getting completely hammered on one shot of alien alcohol he'd been completely sure he'd be able to handle.
No doubt Bruce will either figure it out or hear that detail later from someone else anyway.
Sorry we didn't invite you.
I see, Bruce says, in a tone that implies he doesn't see at all. His eyes go to Roy and Corey almost accusingly.
We're very happy for you, Master Jason, Alfred intervenes, before he can say anything further. Corey is starting to look violently defiant in the face of Bruce's gaze, so that's probably a good thing. And your partners as well. When Bruce doesn't immediately agree, Alfred puts his hand on his shoulder. One meaningful squeeze and the words come out.
Yes, his former mentor grunts. Congratulations, Jason. A word alone?
Jason stares back at him evenly.
I think anything you have to say to me, you can say to Roy and Corey as well.
Only by long association does Jason pick out the conflict in Bruce. He can't tell exactly what over. Probably how bad he wants to call Jason reckless and stupid for making such an important life decision without a thought or careful consideration. The two redheads beside Jason have to be a deterrent, though, especially the one carrying the power of the sun inside her. Finally, Bruce speaks again,
and it's with words Jason very much did not expect to hear.
You're happy.
Yes, he manages to say. Very.
It takes some time, but Bruce eventually does nod.
Good.
Jason can't believe his ears.
Good? He repeats. Wait, that's it. Good. That's all you're going to say.
Bruce raises an eyebrow at him.
What else do you want me to say? I don't know. I thought you'd be...
His face flushes red.
More angry or something?
Bruce clenches his jaw for a moment.
I can't pretend I particularly approve of your method, but... This is your life, Jason. You're an adult now. I have no right to tell you what you can and cannot do with it.
Oh, he says, feeling a little lost and oddly disappointed. He's been gearing himself up for a fight all day, and now that it looks like there isn't going to be one, Jason doesn't know what to do with himself.
Okay.
They sit together in awkward silence a little while longer. Roy and Corey finish off the last of the cookies between them before Alfred eventually clears his throat.
There is one matter I believe we should still discuss about your nuptials before you leave, Master Jason.
Jason blinks. What's that, Alfie?
We may have missed the ceremony, but there is still the matter of your reception to attend to.
Jason and Roy freeze at the word, while beside them, Corey's face breaks out into a delighted grin.
Oh no.
Approximately 1 week later, Jason finds himself dressed up in the kind of fancy suit he hates, standing in the ballroom of Wayne Manor, surrounded by friends and family. Beside him, Corey is absolutely radiant in a beautiful white dress, and Roy, too, has managed to clean himself up for the occasion, looking rakishly dashing in a borrowed tux. For a party put together on very short notice, it's actually not been that bad a time. It helps that unlike the balls and galas of his youth, Jason already knows everyone here. There are no strangers coming up to shake his hand or pinch his cheeks, and he's perfectly free to snark back at anyone making clever comments about the circumstances of their wedding. Even Dick seems to have forgiven him, judging by the way he latched onto Jason earlier this evening, hugging him so long and so tight that Jason had eventually been forced to threaten to dump him into one of the rose bushes outside to make him let go, before pushing him over toward Barbara for safekeeping. Uncomfortable didn't even begin to cover it. Everyone else seems to be having a good time as well. Tim, holding true to his promise, has declared himself Jason's best man to anyone who will listen and snapped enough photos with his camera to blind the entire hall. Meanwhile, Leanne, in a puffed-up purple bridesmaid dress, has forgiven her father entirely for his indiscretion in getting married without her present, and her dogged determination to follow Damien around the party throughout the evening, after apparently developing quite the crush on him last year, has been an endless source of amusement for Jason. He can't wait, though, for the moment Alfred gives him the nod to signal that it's a socially acceptable time to drag his partners away from the increasingly drunk and jovial crowd, away from family and Titans, all the members of the Justice League who could claim some passing familiarity with them, and up into the privacy of his bedroom. Roy laughs as Corey pushes them both down onto the bed, turning over quickly to kiss Jason even as she clambers up to straddle his hips. Jason grins as she seizes his right hand, lifting it to her lips and kissing over the ring and alien tattoo there. The latter, the mark that had first clued Hal Jordan into what had happened between them.
We are married, she tells them, as if that information is new rather than over a week old.
Yes, Corey, Jason smiles up at her as Roy nibbles his neck.
I know. I vote we get on with the recreating the wedding night, Roy says, when we can actually remember this time.
Agreed, Corey smiles, squeezing her thighs warmly around his hips and undoing her hair so it falls down in a silken blanket behind her. Jason?
Yeah, he laughs at the reminder.
Yeah, let's do that.
There are some perks to having a wedding reception, after all. The end. Thank you for listening.
for better or for worse, I've been riding high, even if it's just tonight or the rest of my life. So come on, do your worst, I'll stay here all night. Cash out, cards down, I'll roll it down.
Shotgun.